Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Jesus, for today, Father God. Lord, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth, Father God, is from you, Lord. I pray that I humble myself, Father God, and just preach the word that you want me to preach tonight, Father God. And I thank you so much for this body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So tonight I want to teach about pride and humility. I'm going to go to James chapter 4, verse 6. James is a very powerful book, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Everything, the cure for everything in your life is humility. I'm not kidding you. It's the exact opposite of being prideful. And I am a professional pride person because sometimes your life circumstances or maybe the cards you were dealt in life or maybe, you had to go through tough times. There's a strange division, in Seattle between the people that have to work for a living and the people that are getting money through inheritance. There's a difference. We can't understand the difference. So I'm very prideful because I scraped for everything, So when you scrape for something, you're kind of prideful, and you fall into this trap of being prideful. And, the cure for evil desires is humility. Pride makes us self-centered and leads us to conclude that we deserve all we can see, touch, or imagine. Everything in this world is ours for the taking. Everything that we've ever wanted, everything that we've ever dreamed of, everything that we've ever clawed at or seen in a movie somewhere, we want it. And we want to work as hard as we can to get that. And Satan puts you in this trap of trying to live in the world by the world's standards. I wasted 20 years of my life trying to get some sort of lifestyle that I found out in the end was just junk. There is no fairy tale thing. I imagine in my mind's eye that I would be climbing up a ladder, and all of a sudden I would come out. I'm telling you, this is a vision I had since I was a kid. I would climb up this ladder and I would come out and it'd be all green grass and beautiful trees, and all these multi-million dollar homes, and all these people would be waiting for me. Brother, you made it. Come, brother, come. I mean, that's what I thought it was going to be like. That's what they sell you. Streets were paved, with gold, and everything was going to be cheery, and all this, whatever. That is it's a lie. I found out that it's dirtier at the top than it was at the bottom where I started from. And at least the people at the bottom keep their word. The higher you go, the worse it gets. The worse their word becomes. You can't trust anybody anymore. Matter of fact, my friendships now are based upon, Julian, your word is gold, brother. If you told me something in the last few minutes of my life, I can go to my God knowing that it would be done. Because you've proven yourself over and over and over again. So we get caught up in this thing called pride. And it affects every single aspect of our life. It's a universal human problem, and everybody suffers from it. I know celebrities, they suffer from it. I know doctors, they suffer from it. Everybody suffers at this from a certain degree. They say that pride is the root of all sin. And if that's the truth, then humility is the root, mother, nurse, and foundation of virtue. The more you practice humility, the more God lifts you up in the world. I know this sounds strange. I know this is the weirdest riddle you've ever heard before. But I am telling you, the more that you become full of humility, the more that God lifts you up in the world. The more that you die to your flesh, that you die to your sinful desires, the more God lifts you up in the world. Maybe a new job. Maybe some money that came in so they can have a vacation. Things are tight. There's a lot of people that are struggling around. Me and Julian are trying to build three companies simultaneously. It's not coming in like we could easily make the money come in. But we're doing it God's way. Yeah. Amen? And that requires humility. I can get dirty and play dirty internet tricks. I know how to get dirty on the internet and make money. But we're doing it God's way. Amen? We're doing it with humility, amen? Because we want to leave something to our children. We want to help build the kingdom of God. We want to do it right this time because we already did it wrong. And that didn't work out for us. Throughout our life on this earth, Jesus demonstrated a spirit of profound humility, saying that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. We really need to humble ourselves. By the way, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 20, 28. Who's got it?
I got you.
All right.
A ransom was the price paid to release a slave from bondage. Jesus' disciples that he must die, but here he told them why. To redeem all people from the bondage of sin and death. The disciples thought that was that as long as Jesus was alive, he could save them. But Jesus revealed that only his death would save them and the world.
Amen. So JR, that is the study portion. You're supposed to read in the privacy of your room. Amen?
No, my bad.
So read us.
There's the broke down version.
That's okay. That's the study version. It was good that you read that.
Let's do this.
Okay. Amen.
Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Amen. He gave his life as a ransom for many. On his last night with the disciples, on his very last night, he took a towel and basin and washed their dirty feet, instructing them to follow his example of servanthood with one another. That's being humble. That's helping people. Try to help people. Try to humilify yourself. Try to become, I don't know how to say it really, but it's like you have to die to your flesh in order for God to bless you. You have to help people. Reach out and help people. Always be helping people. It doesn't mean giving them money. You don't have to give them money. Give them your time. Pray for them. Help them. Give them a ride somewhere. You know what I mean? Listen to them. Pray for them. There's people going through hard times right now. And they need someone that can show them love and humility. All of us, to some degree, have had some sort of weird life. Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't connect with me. Lord, forgive me for saying this, but you get these people that, you know, they've been to Bible school their whole life. They've never drank alcohol. They've never smoked weed. They've never been to a party. They've never ran home, away from home. They've never been out on their own, you know. And they're out preaching the word of gospel in one of those fancy churches where they pay them a salary and stuff, you know. I cannot receive from you. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get the word of God from you like I'm going to get the word of God from somebody that's walked through the fire before. Somebody that's been down in the gutter before a little bit. Somebody that's maybe had to struggle a little bit. Somebody that knows what it's like, you know, to actually fight, to take care of your family, to fight, you know, to raise your kids in a world that's just completely filthy and dirty. It's hard raising kids today. Some parents just let them go and hope that they turn out. And that works sometimes. Some parents squash them to death, and they never understand what it's like to hurt or have to struggle. And they're doing it out of love. There's no right way or wrong way. Your way is the right way. If you're the mom and dad, that's the right way. But all I'm saying is, don't look out the window at other people's lives, you know, driving down in the fancy car, living in the fancy life, you know, and think that they've got it made. Because many of these people that I meet, they're worse off than we are. You know, they'll never come to Jesus Lives on Thursday night. I used to hand my cards out to everybody. Please come, brother. Please come, brother. Please come, brother. And then, you know, they come in and you get some troublemakers or somebody stir the pot and then five people leave. Or, you know, but when I started really listening to the Holy Spirit, really practicing, like, dude, it's humbling to come here on Thursday nights when no one shows up. And that's the way it was for 6 months. No one came. It's very humbling. But when you humble yourself and try to be less prideful, try to really help people, God begins to lift you up in the world. I'm telling you, it's better than Miracle-Gro in your garden. It's like some sort of fish stuff. It's like fish oil on your tomatoes. It's like if you want to see fruit in your life, do something for somebody. Humble yourself in the midst of your trial when things are really bad, when the money's not coming in, when the bills are piled up, when you're scared, when you're clutching your wife. I've been there clutching wife in the middle of the night. I've been there, amen. But when you keep your eyes on Jesus and you become humble, God just gives you the, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know the riddle. If I knew the riddle, you know, I'd tell you. But all I know is that you just serve him and trust him, and he begins to just water your life. Think of all the problems that are caused by our pride. Think of all the problems that are, you know, that people have over authority. We want to control our own lives. You know, I personally get panicky when there is no dinero coming in. You know, panic mode one sets and I start to shake. I start to get worried. I start to get concerned. And I want to fix it in my world. Because I could fix it. Oh, me and Julian could fix it. We could get the money coming to that place like crazy. But we're doing it God's way. Amen? And it's hard to walk in humility. It's hard to do things right. It's hard to walk the line because you want to cheat. You know, back in the early days of the internet, you know, people were, they didn't know how to search for anything, you know. You're going to throw up a website and they start buying, you know. They wanted to buy anything on the internet. They just to say, I bought it on the internet, you know. Now it's like no big deal, but back in the early 90s and stuff, oh man, yeah, I got it on the net. You know, they just wanted to be cool. They didn't care. So I just provided a bunch of stuff for them to buy on the internet. And I couldn't believe they'd buy it. Because if a few minutes search, they could have got it for $20 cheaper. Is that bad? I don't know. That's commerce, business, whatever. But the closer you get to Christ, the more you start coming to church, the more you start changing your life, the more God begins to water you and cleanse you. You know, people come in here sometimes and, you know, you may not feel nothing. But spiritually, there is dirt going down that drain. When you take a shower in the presence of God, it's dirt going down that drain. You're getting changed. People get angry at me because I try to use any means necessary to get them in here. Because I just want them to take a shower, spiritually. Just so they can get just a little bit cleaner. Amen? Humility is everything. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, the second epistle of Timothy. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Who's got it?
Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. Serve and enlist them.
Amen. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one that is going to war is worrying about what's going on in the world. Those guys in Iraq and Afghanistan right now, they can't worry about what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? And it's like, you've got to get into the fight. By the way, the body of Christ contains believers, all the believers who have ever lived throughout time. Not just those who are alive now. When we suffer, we share in a common experience. Not just with those alive today, but with all of those who have ever suffered for the sake of the gospel. This isn't anything new, you know? This ministry, Jesus Lives, I run like the book of Acts, like Paul said. I do everything Paul said. I preach the gospel. I pray, I fast before I come here. I try to reach out to people. And God does all the work. This isn't a Phil show. This is a Jesus show. And because I let God do all the work, there's fruit on the tree. The fruit is you guys. Nothing's changed. Your lives will change. Maybe you'll start coming to church on Sunday. Maybe you'll start coming every Thursday. But you'll notice that your fruit will begin to grow. People will notice something different about you. Dude, there's something different about you. What is it? I don't know. You know, and they just notice something different about you. Because you're changing. Because you're beginning to be more Christ-like. And God will begin to bless that. It's the most epic, miraculous thing that's ever happened in the history of everything. This riddle of when you lower yourself in the world, God lifts you up. I was so upset when Jamel made me go to church. I didn't want to go to church on Sunday. Sunday I wanted to sleep in because I partied all night on Saturday. Nobody wants to get up at 9 o'clock and go to church. You got to be there by 10. I was hungover. I don't want to go to church. My head was like pounding. My mouth was dry. I didn't want to go to church. But I just struggle. And I'd sit there and go to church because I just wanted this girl really badly. I just wanted to be with her. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to have to go to church. I must really like this girl. And all the time I was grumbling and upset. I didn't know that there was dirt going down the drain. And I kept changing. And then I kept noticing, you know what? These people are nicer than the people I've been hanging out with in the world. Something different about them. They ain't lying to me. They ain't stealing from me. They ain't taking anything from me. And I began to change. And then I kind of sort of wanted to come to church. And I kind of quit drinking on Saturday night. I'd stay home and watch movies. And you just start this journey that's incredible. I used to worry about, you know, money and building myself up and trying to build something and, you know, doing it in my own strength. But the truth is that when I allow Jesus Christ to do it for me, he lifts you up in such a way that it's more powerful than you could have ever done anyway doing it on your own.
Right.
So it's like you have this supernatural thing going on when you keep your eyes on Jesus, and nobody in the world gets it. They're like, oh man, I thought to myself, wow, I have really fallen low to be a church. That's what I thought when I walked, an Asian church too. I was like the only white guy there besides Neil. There was a couple other ones. I was thinking, wow, this really has gotten bad. I must really be falling apart, you know, wow. And that was my attitude because I was full of pride. I wasn't being humble. We all endure hardships. Sometimes our problems are caused by our own sins. Sometimes God allows us to go through a hardship because he's trying to teach us something. Even though, this is important to remember, even though God allows trials to teach us something, don't forget that our God has all the details of every single battle we have to fight. Many of us are suffering through financial problems. Many of us are suffering through medical issues. Many of us are suffering through home issues. Many of us are trying to find a place to stay. Many of us are trying to keep. Many of us are worried about our kids. I mean, everybody has some sort of trial. Everybody has some sort of problem. But the key to getting through the trial, the key to really surviving the trial, is to laying it down for Jesus Christ and being humble. You know, James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you're prideful, you're actually setting yourself in opposition to God. The pride set themselves up, glorifying in themselves rather than in him. That's what happened to Satan. Mm-hmm. Beautiful worship leader, good looking too. The most beautiful angel. They say he was the most beautiful angel in heaven.
Yeah.
And he fell to earth like a lightning bolt and took a third of the angels with him. They say that that's billions. And they're all on earth causing ruckus. They were the reason why every time I begged you guys or whatever to come to church, like my grandmother's sick, or it's a bat mitzvah, or whatever, remember? I used to tease BJ, oh, it's another, your sister's getting married again, you know, this Thursday. It was always something, you know. But the truth is, you know, they don't want you sitting in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit because you're getting changed. They don't want you sitting in this atmosphere because you're getting changed. I want us to grow as a body of Christ, and the best way to grow is to be humble. I know that a lot of you are going through trials. I know that it's very, very difficult, very, very brutal. I know that many of you are afraid. Many of you are scared because your trial is custom designed for you. Satan goes after your weaknesses, yours and yours alone. My weaknesses have always been the same, Jack Daniels and cigarettes and trouble, seriously. And that's what Satan works on. You know, like when you're away, like at a bachelor party in Atlanta last weekend, you know, drink, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, and you just got to say, no, I'm not going to drink. I'm going to go home to my hotel room and think about my wife right now. Okay, so let's go through the 7 characteristics quickly of being humble. Number 1, the humble heart understands dependence on God. John 15:5. This is just John, the first John. Who's got John 15:5?
I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. When a vine produces much fruit, God is glorified. For daily he sent the sunshine and rain to make the crops grow. The fruit is you. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. You're the fruit. That's how it works. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we just begin to grow. You're stuck in your life. You can't make any money. Something's going on. Bad medical stuff. You got a bad report from the doctor. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Your life isn't falling into a million different pieces and falling down the drain. It's actually falling into place. When you're going through your crisis and you're falling apart, your life is actually falling into place. A racehorse cannot make it. Cannot reach his potential until he's first broken. You've got to start pushing in, coming to Bible study, hearing the word. Even if it's just on Thursdays, that's fine. If you want double Jesus, go to Sunday too. But start receiving the word, continually bathing yourself in the word, and just starting to change, watching your life change, watching everything come to pass. The humble heart understands dependence upon God. It is impossible to store up treasures in heaven if we think that we can do it on our own. We have to have full dependence on God. Number two, the humble heart trembles before God's word. Let's go to Isaiah 66, verse 2. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, an amazing prophet who actually prophesied about Jesus. Isaiah 66, verse 2. Who's got 66:2? Somebody new. BJ, can you read it when your wife findeth? Amen. Really? Come on, BJ, let's do it. It's a shorty. Isaiah 66, verse 2. It's like a one-liner. Well, four liners, I guess. Baby girl, can you give me some Kleenex? Isaiah 66:2.
My hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord.
But
these are the ones that I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit.
And who?
And who tremble at my word.
Amen. Excuse me, you guys. I have a sinus infection, too. See, we're all under attack. Believe me. This is Isaiah's message. He contrasted two ways of living, that of humble person and that of a prideful person. Our society urges us to be prideful. When we turn on the TV, all we see is pride. When we turn on the internet, all we see is pride. The humble way of life, trusting in God, that's why we must be a light that shines for the darkness. Amen? People look at your life. That's your greatest testimony, is your life. When people ask me, you know, they're always like, if I meet somebody new, they always get around to it. What do you do for a living? And I say, well, I'm a Jesus freak. And that's how I start getting them to come. Because it's like, I want them to experience the love of Jesus Christ. I'm an eighth grade dropout. I have no high school diploma. Listen, man. Jesus Christ is real. I am telling you right now that he can change me. He can change anybody. And he can change each one of you. Every single one of you in this room. Amen? When you hear God's word, you want to tremble. Not tremble, but you just want to be reverent. Like, you know what? Let's have the respect of hearing the word of God. Amen? Number three, the humble heart is willing to own up to sin. What does that mean? That means when you screw up, you're willing to say, I'm sorry. It's so humbling to apologize to some jerk who deserved it. Amen? I had to do that yesterday. You ask anybody that knows me, my issue that I'm repenting for on a daily basis, and you shouldn't repent on a daily basis. When you repent to God for sin, it should be over with. You can't keep repenting for sin. Like if you have an issue or something, you shouldn't keep repenting for it, but I find myself repenting for the way that I drive in traffic because I'm upset about traffic. Because I remember the days when there was no traffic on Bellevue Way. I remember when 8th Street was wide open at 5 p.m. So now that it's gridlock traffic, I just get so angry because, you know, somebody's up there not turning right and all 50 of us have to suffer. You know what I mean? And it's just like, oh. So I find myself getting angry at these drivers sometimes. So I have to learn how not to do that, amen? And that's part of change. So if you're willing to own up to sin, that is a great way to get started. If there's something in your life that's bad, get rid of it. Don't just do things to impress people that you know, that are in the office or something. I used to do that too. I used to wait till the pastor was walking by, then grab like two chairs, like I was putting them away, you know, after service, you know, to score brownie points with the pastor. Yeah, I did that, okay? But it's the stuff you do in the dark, it's the stuff you do when no one's looking that really scores up the points in heaven.
Amen.
The 20 you gave the homeless guy at that gas station on I-5, that ride you gave to this guy whose car broke down, all the things you do in secret when you help somebody, God rewards you openly for that. The humble heart is willing to own up to sin. Number four. The humble heart has the fruit of obedience. Let's go to Judges 10, 15, and 16. This is actually, the Holy Spirit gave me this teaching tonight off of Tanita's teaching last night. She had an amazing teaching last night on Wednesday. Tanita is the pastor's daughter. She attends our Wednesday group. Judges 10, 15, and 16?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, thanks, Rubes. Just 15 and 16, yeah?
Okay. But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do whatever you want to do to us, but please save us today." Then they threw away the foreign gods and began to worship the Lord again. So he felt sorry for them when he saw them suffering.
Amen. Believers to come to Christ because they're this Old Testament, New Testament thing. What does it mean? You know, are we going to follow the Old Testament? But I heard we're under the New Covenant. We don't have to follow the Old Testament anymore. We just have to follow the New Covenant. We have to follow both. But in short, the Old Testament is a story of how this whole thing got started. A group of people traveling through the desert that were blessed, and they still shunned God in so many ways. They were punished for it for long periods of time sometimes. But everything in the Old Testament went down. You go to YouTube and Google the real Mount Sinai. The Saudis have put up a 50-foot electric fence around some weird tabernacle at the base of some mountain with Egyptian scriptures on it, some split rock. You can look at it from Google Earth and see an ancient riverbed come out of it. All this is true. It really went down. The Old Testament prophesied about a Messiah that would come one day. So we don't have to like go through priests or anything. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus. The New Testament begins with the story of Jesus Christ. The first four Gospels in the New Testament are four different versions of Jesus when he was on earth. Read it. Believe it. The book of Acts is really my favorite book because it's the first book after the four Gospels. It tells you how to run the church when the Holy Spirit was given. Stay in Jerusalem. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. The Holy Spirit is what you felt during worship tonight. Kind of like something's going on. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not really worried about my stuff anymore. But then Satan came in and made you worried again. And, you know, you're just kind of like something was going on. That was the Holy Spirit. It gets more powerful the more often you come, the more you learn how to praise. And many of us that have been serving God for a while, we know to lay our problems aside and come to Bible study and really push in. Because Satan wants to trip you up with a worry right before Bible study. Like something to get your mind off of worship. Like, you know, like some call from that guy you were applying a job for. Hi, you better call me back. You know, he'll leave a tone like that. Like, oh, that's not good news. So then you're festering on that and you can't receive. Don't fall for those tricks, amen? So number five, the humble heart values the welfare of others ahead of its own. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Philippians is a great book, by the way. They're all great books. This is a great book. It was written by 66 different people over 1,500 years. Actually, it's 66 books written by 45 different people over 1,500 years, and only three of them knew each other. And they all tell the same story. That's why this is the best-selling book of all time, because it's true. You can live your life on this book. I'm telling you. If you're in crisis right now, or you're hurting right now, or things going right now, start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Pull out of it. I'm telling you, he's better than any father you could ever want. For those of us who were raised fatherless, believe me, Jesus Christ is real. Amen? Who's got Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4?
I got chapter 2.
3 and 4, Richard, go ahead. I got you a big Bible.
Do nothing out of selfish ambitions, by vain conceit.
Amen.
Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's hard to look after others when you're in crisis. It's hard when you've been working all day and it's 6 p.m. and you're in traffic and that little lady standing by the side of the road with her pickup truck and the hood's up, you know what I mean? It's hard to pull over. Do you need some help? It's hard to loan people money when you don't have that much money yourself. It's hard to take care of people that maybe didn't take care of you. It's hard to show love to people, but I am telling you right now, when you practice humility and you really truly help people, God lifts you up in the world. All of the problems you thought you had just melt away. They just go away. Help people. Don't do it like I did it back trying to impress the pastor. Do it when it's late and you're pulled over and someone needs some help. Give a lady a jump. Give that guy a ride. Loan that guy at the bus stop $20. You're never going to get it back. Don't loan it. Give it. I keep saying loan, but to those of you that have loaned people money, you never get it back. So it's a gift. Amen. You give it and forget it. Amen. Because that's how you're going to get the bless. Okay, the last thing. The humble heart accepts the role of servant. Okay, this is hard for most people that are prideful. Let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 35. This will be our last scripture. Mark chapter 9, verses 35. Yep. Who's got Mark 9, 35? Okay, Nicole, thank you so much.
Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first, very last, and the servant."
Amen. Serving others is real leadership. Jesus described leadership from a new perspective. Instead of using people, we are to serve them. Jesus' mission was to serve others and to give his life away. A real true leader has a servant's heart. A real true leader serves. I never forget this. I've never told this story to anybody, but Pastor Lau, when we first started coming to church, my truck wouldn't start or something. And I didn't really know about pastors and elders. And, you know, there's a certain amount of respect that you give to your pastor because he's been serving God for so long and he does so without pay. Our pastor has never been paid a salary from our church, you know, the almost 20 years I've been going here. He's never taken money. When I was a new believer, I didn't really know about, so I asked him for a ride and he gave me a ride, you know, and helped me do my running around and stuff. And I just jumped out of the car and I said, "Thanks, man." And because this particular week that we went, somebody was preaching and it wasn't Pastor Lau. And then when he got up to preach, I just wanted to crawl in my seat and just go away. I'm like, wow. And so, you know, we all need to humble ourselves. Amen. We all need to humble ourselves. And I'll read this once in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. You know, we worry about our position and our status, hoping to get real recognition for what we do, right? But Peter advises us to remember that God's recognition counts more than human praise. What you do in the dark, you know, sometimes that valley you don't want to go through in your life, you know, the one that's really dark and forbidden and kind of looks scary, I'm telling you guys, sometimes that dark valley you don't want to go through is actually the valley you need to go through to get the treasure that you've been seeking. Amen? I am telling you straight up. Okay? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We're going to go all the way to the end. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Hey, man, you want to go out drinking tonight? Dude, everybody's together. Central Tavern, 10 p.m., Saturday. You know what? I'm going to stay home with my wife and kids. That girlfriend calls from out of state, you know, the one you just have to go to the mall with and drop. Whatever the lion is doing in your life, okay, he'll come after your weaknesses. Mine, cigarettes. Do a cigarette. What's a cigarette? Come on, man. We'll smoke tonight. We'll just quit tomorrow. Be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish strength, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Jesus Christ, for this body of tonight, Lord, that just is seeking you, Father God. Thank you for those that came, Lord. Thank you for a room, Father God. Thank you for a warm fire, probably the last fire, Lord, of the season. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that the word that you taught us tonight, Father God, just soaks into our souls, Lord. I pray, Father God, that we take it out into the world, Father God, and we just use it, Lord. I pray that we become more humble, serving those, Father God, that are prideful. I pray, Father God, that we lower ourselves to people that even don't deserve it, Father God, that we practice being humble.